sugar. Yeah.
Because we were supposed to try to get together for lunch, and he goes, let's do it later in the week. I'm like, well, I leave to San Francisco on Thursday. And he's like, what the fuck? He's like, that's when I come back.
Oh, yeah. You guys aren't going to be able to cross paths up there?
Nah. He's coming back. We're
driving probably for
the up. Best. Yeah, it is. Because we're driving up, but then we're stopping in San Luis Obispo to do a collaboration.
The slow.
A buddy of mine used to be the head brewer at Central Coast Brewing, and then he just opened up his own spot called Liquid Gravity.
Liquid Gravity?
Yeah. So he's having us come up to do a collab.
¿Qué es esta madre?
Trevon RIPA.
This is the one, huh?
This is
the one where
30% of our sales.
That's what I was gonna say. This is your Flama Blanca. This is our Flama Blanca.
This is the reason our lights stay on.
Ah, yeah. I drink that shit. Tastes fresh. Two row.
Yep, 5 days old.
Ooh, that's Mosaic.
Yep. And 6 days old. A little under a week.
Pretty good beer, brother. I like it. I'm not a big beer drinker.
¿Con qué pasó, güey?
No sé, güey.
What, a whiskey?
I don't like beer, bro.
It's funny.
I feel like it makes me fucking fat. I feel like it bogs me down.
Yeah, no, I get that. I'd rather not drink beer if I had the choice, but it's in this industry, man. What are you supposed to do?
Aquí estoy con el compita.
¿Cuál, güey?
El Cesar Torres.
Ay.
Our good friend. It turns out there's more than one Mexican in the beer industry in San Diego.
They keep it limited.
Yeah. Well, I think that we're reaching like capacity.
Yeah.
I feel like 20 to 25 is probably capacity of like Mexicans in industry.
We're all going to get a letter in the mail.
And we all know each other. Yeah. And we all go to each other's like kids' birthday parties.
Yeah.
And
totally, yeah. We're going to get a letter in the mail and there's going to be like anthrax and they'd be like, you guys have to get rid of each other. Yeah. We need five of you to go away. You guys decide who.
¿Qué onda, Cesar? Who are you? Tell the beautiful listeners of Emo Brown who the fuck you are and why are you here?
I'm here because it's court ordered.
Yes, sir.
No, I'm kidding.
Court mandate.
No, we've been trying to make this happen for a while,
yeah.
Kendall.
Yeah, you're one of the funniest dudes I know in this industry. Oh, this industry is full of a bunch of weenies, bro.
Everyone takes themselves too serious.
Everyone takes themselves way too seriously.
We work in beer.
And I feel like that's why us, meaning me and the brewery and the brand, we rub people the wrong way sometimes. Because we legitimately don't give a fuck. Like, we make beer for people here in our hood. Yeah. You know, I don't make beer to take to like anywhere else and be like, oh, I hope they like us. You know, it's I expect people to, if they come down here, it's because they like us already.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, these guys are, we're from the hood. We make it from the people down here. Yeah. Everyone is welcome. And I feel like we rub people the wrong way.
Beer is a social tool.
It is, man. Right.
What have people been doing since the beginning of time?
Rubbing one out.
Yeah, well, that's my next subject.
Go ahead.
I have a whole notebook for that one. This is going to be a 2-hour-long episode, so hold on tight, people.
I mean, you nailed it, bro.
People have been getting together since the beginning of time over an alcoholic beverage, whether it's been wine, hard alcohol, beer, but beer has been a constant since forever. That's what people get together. For business meetings,
yep.
Out on the golf course,
yep.
For dinner, or just if you're going to get together with somebody, you're going to grab a beer.
Everything. A libation. So
it's supposed to be fun, man. It's supposed to be
It's supposed to smooth out the rough edges and make everything a little bit more free-forming and beautiful.
So why take it so serious, man? At the end of the day,
why do they take it so seriously?
I wish I mean, because it's a business still?
Yeah. Well, I believe me, I understand. I understand that it's a business. I completely get that it's a business. But oh man, wouldn't you rather run a business and have fun running it than fucking run a business and just kind of take yourself too seriously and be uptight all the time?
I've done a lot of things for work, and the reason that I drew myself to the industry was because I knew I could do this, make a living, and have fun.
But you're a hoe.
So
how many brews you work with?
This is my fourth.
Fourth? Oh, why did I think it was more?
I don't know, because everyone feels that way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Four fucking...
And I never wanted to bounce around, but, you know, circumstantial things.
But
and,
you're a hoe. I mean,
brewery-wise.
¿En cuál trabajaste? Which breweries have you been at?
I got my start with Iron Fist, y luego Hess, Fall,
yep.
And then Burgeon.
I fell in love with you at Hess.
Well, that's when I came to your first ever event.
We were talking about this the other day.
Yeah, that's when Gavin, when we were going to San Diego State game, and he told me to come meet him at K&B Wine Cellars because they were a new brewery and they were having a tap takeover. And I said, who is it? And he goes, Three Punks. And I go,
never heard of it.
Really new. And he goes, no, I don't think they have a brewery yet. And I went, so how the fuck are they having a tap takeover?
You were shitting on him.
Huh?
You were talking shit.
I was being honest. There's a difference. Did you just say, am I rubbing you the wrong way?
I'm taking myself far too serious.
And I showed up, and I remember specifically because I parked in the lot. I texted Gavin to see where he was, and he's like, oh, I'm inside. And as I got out of my car, you pulled up your pickup right in front, and you started unloading kegs. And I was like, oh, shit. There they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a long time. That was 2014.
2014, man.
Son of a bitch.
Telling me, like, how you guys were still on the homebrew system.
Yeah.
And that at that point, you weren't even brewing at
Butchers?
Butchers yet.
Probably not.
No. Yeah. You were getting ready. You told me you had a lead on something that you hope would tie you over until you found a space.
Yeah. Funny how life works sometimes.
It's a trip, man.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. So you were there from day one.
Yeah.
You're a homie from day one.
From day one, man.
You're always welcome here.
But I'm pinchy Gavin. Out of all people that could have told me about it,
he's
Gavin.
The biggest white guy, too. if I tell you, oh, this fucking square white guy I know, Gavin is a guy.
Gavin that comes
like, he's a fucking guy. Yeah. You know, he's like fucking married, 2.6 kids, because I'm pretty sure he has a golden fucking retriever who fetches his fucking New York Times every Sunday.
Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, and brings it to him at the foot of his little slippers.
How many people have a pet turtle?
No mames.
See, wait, he's 20 years old, too.
The turtle's 20
years old? Yeah. Hey, come on, Gavin put an Instagram post. Like, people put Instagrams for their dogs. He has one for his turtle.
Only a white guy can keep a turtle alive for 20 fucking years.
And he brought him from the East Coast. That's the craziest.
Bitch, part. I have boots. I have Kawama boots. I have boots made out of turtle. That motherfucker wouldn't have made it 2 weeks at my house. I would have gutted him, made him a belt buckle.
He brought him all the way from Connecticut, and he's still alive.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's a privileged turtle, bro.
That turtle's got a better life than any of us. Yeah,
he does. Motherfucker doesn't eat just regular iceberg. He eats arugula.
Organic
arugula.
Spring mix.
He's not picked by Mexicans. Picked by the finest Europeans this side of Carlsbad.
That turtle eats kale.
Ese turtle se pasó de verga. I'm going to kill it.
So that's where I first met you.
You're in sales. That's been your pinchy calling card since you started at Iron Fist.
Well, Iron Fist, dude, I got to know that family when they were getting crazy because they were the 32nd. And I was hanging out there and Brandon was nice enough to take me and show me around and like teach me about brewing and, you know, that.
Come here, Mexican. Yeah. Let me show you about beer.
Come here, little brown fella. I got you. You know, well, they're Polish. That's the Mexicans of Europe. So,
very true.
So, you know, and that tasting room would get so slammed that I would help grandma and grandpa pick up glasses. Mm. And then one day I was sitting in the back office and Melody, who now I work with at Virgin, came in and asked me, hey, can you pour beer? And I was like, of course I can pour beer. Little did I know, I could not fucking pour beer. Not when there's 50 people in line, four bartenders, you're trying to do POS, That I was feet first into the fire, but I loved
it. That was the heyday of beer in San Diego.
Oh, absolutely.
That was the fucking, that's when even industrial locations were slammed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember 3 months in and Greg Cook coming in, and that was such a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Greg Cook was coming in and hanging out and having your beer. And yeah, and then they asked me to help out with events. So I was doing events, and then I let them know, hey, I got a background. I come from sales, you know, I've done financial services and. Let me get in on this mix.
Bitch, you're probably a teller. Financial service.
Life insurance, loans, both of them.
I got financial service.
Training,
bitch, you were a teller.
Series 6 and 63, training for securities. Yeah.
Okay, calmado, bitch. Yeah, you know,
calmado. I just looked it up on Google.
Series 63. Ah, yes.
Series 663, yeah.
I did that.
And then, so they gave me my start. And then I left there when my daughter was born. And I took some time off. I was with her for the first 6 months. And then...
Damn, you pulled 6 months?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
We had money saved up. And my ex-wife was adamant that, you know, she didn't want to pay someone to take care of the baby. And she's like, instead of that, you know, while you find your way back into the industry, because, you know, at that point, Iron Fist couldn't afford to keep me on anymore. And we talked about it. And I'm like, yeah, who else better? And when will I ever have that experience again? You know?
Not with her.
Not with her. And it was the coolest thing ever. And when she went back to school, I was able to take over. And then I started getting the itch. Money started running low. And
time to work.
I put out just a quick word like, all right, I want to get back in the industry. Who's got an in? And At the time, my buddy Barry, who now is the owner operator of Fieldwork Brewing in Berkeley, was the investor at Hess Brewing and told me, "Hey, they're getting ready to lose a sales guy. I think you guys would get it off, and you should go talk to him." And I went and met with Greg Hess and Mike and Linda, and that was 1 week later. And the next day, I had an offer from them and started my second sales.
That's when I met you more.
Yeah, because you guys were coming in there all the time.
Yeah, so that's where we kind of like became more acquainted with each other and eventually friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. I mean, fuck, you're a good dude. You're a hard worker. You're a paisa. You're a beaner,
yeah,
you know?
You have to be.
Where's your fucking family from? Where are you guys from?
My real dad, I don't know. Porque he's been getting cigarettes for 37 years. So we're not sure where he is.
He'll be back soon.
He'll be back soon. Those lines are a motherfucker, dog. Those lines are a motherfucker.
It's because if you don't have Sentry, it does take a little longer to fucking cross the border.
Se le olvidó la mica al cabrón. No, but my mama's from Tijuana, Zona Norte.
El vato, yeah, Colonia Libertad or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my
stepdad's from Culiacán, Sinaloa.
Ah, motherfucker, everyone's from Culiacán, Sinaloa. Relax. Name another fucking Nayarit. City in Sinaloa.
Nayarit, Culiacán. Nayarit's where he's technically from.
Okay, that's not fucking Culiacán, Sinaloa.
Well, okay, pero mira.
Okay, pero mira.
So, yeah. But, yeah, that's a good family, man. And now, for some reason, most of my family's in Minnesota.
What the fuck? Yeah, why are you a Viking fan?
Because they moved there when my grandmother remarried.
Fucking Minnesota has like three black dudes and you as a Mexican. They got Prince, Kirby Puckett, fucking Randall Cunningham. Bro, and now you,
two of them are dead.
Oh, fuck. So they're looking for roles to fill.
That's why we got accepted. Yeah, no, my grandmother remarried and my step-grandfather was from Minneapolis. So my grandmother went out there and a bunch of my family followed. And yeah, my first ever NFL game was a Vikings game.
Against who?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah.
Boring ass game.
Boring.
Those are the kinds terrible. Of games you see on the Sunday ticket. You're all nail.
But I was lucky enough to go when the Twins were in their heyday, man. Mm-hmm. Baseball games.
Kirby Puckett.
Yeah.
Kent Hrbek.
All those guys. Yeah. I got this game six of the World Series.
You went?
Yes.
Against the Cardinals?
No, against the Braves.
That's right, the Braves.
When Kirby Puckett made the catch against the wall, seventh inning,
the rock back.
Yeah. And then hit the walk off in the 11th. We'll see you for game seven.
Tom Brunansky.
I've never, Greg Gagne, ever been in a louder stadium.
Gary Gaetti.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, why am I a fucking baseball fan?
Dude, those teams, man. Yeah, I've never to this day been in a stadium as loud as the Humphrey Dome.
Did they knock that shit down?
Yeah, it's gone.
Good.
The roof started falling in.
Fuck that place.
It was a trash. That was pretty loud. And then I was there for a Monday night football game, Vikings Packers.
Did they play in the same stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I couldn't believe they played.
So did you ever live
there in
Minnesota?
Yep, for a year. My grandfather got leukemia, real sick, and he was already, you know, late 70s. And, you know, living in Minnesota during the wintertime is not for the faint of heart.
Mm.
So I went up there to, you know, shovel driveways and get cars.
Make spread. The Mexican do
oh,
it.
Oh, man. That'll teach you a whole new method of, if you got somewhere to be at 7, you better get up at 5 o'clock.
And said you?
Ready to, oh, yeah, man. Yeah. I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, get dressed, get out there, shovel the walkway, you know, take all the snow off the cars, shovel the driveway to get a space for the cars to go out where the, you know, snowplow wasn't able to get to. And then, you know, that was just to get stuff ready for my grandfather. And then I'd walk a mile down the street to get to my bus stop. And then that would take me where I need to go.
El vato.
Yeah.
Time management. Learned time management at a for very sure. young age.
Yeah. I was the only brown guy on time that taught me.
Are there Mexicans in Minnesota?
Oh, a bunch of them, man.
Nieta sham. We made it that far north?
Chingo, wey.
How's the Mexican food?
Eh, they don't get the proper ingredients. You could tell, man. You
could
tell.
Not,
but you know what? The Chinese food.
Ay, fucking cabrón. Chinese food is good anywhere you go, bro.
No, bro. Pero ¿dónde está la mejor Chinese food?
En Mexicali.
Ahí está, güey.
Oh,
so the one, Mexicali, Tijuana, and so the one in Minnesota.
Woo-hoo-hoo. On par with that shit?
Yeah.
Damn, I don't think I've ever had as good as Chinese food as in Mexicali, bro.
It's something else.
It's amazing.
It's something I tell people all the time.
Chinese people live underground there. They have their own city underground. Bitch, you're laughing, but it's true.
No, I know. That's funny. People hear this podcast and be like, really? They start Googling it.
I swear to you, there is a whole underground city in Mexicali, and it's Chinese, bro. It's like a Chinese town. It's during the railway system. It's un pedote. Read a book, motherfucker. Don't come at me.
So I was out there for a year and then moved back and, yeah.
And now? Oh, well, wait. So the last one was Hess. You killed it at Hess.
I did.
You were an amazing guy at Hess.
Yeah, man.
And then you went to?
to, and I went back to Iron Fist for about 9 months and it just didn't work out the way I thought. And I had an opportunity to go over when I was still at Hess. One of the assistant brewers, cellar guys, was Greg Hoover, chief. And so when I saw that things weren't working out the way I thought they were going to work out at Iron Fist, chief hit me up and told me that fall was looking.
Out of you.
And so went. And
that was a hot train to jump on at the time.
Oh, yeah. And now I was a big fan. I remember being there the first week they opened up. And I remember I went there the third day they opened their doors. Line was out the door. Fucking Luis was a door guy.
Yeah.
Checking out IDs, he's like, oh, we're at capacity. And I was like, at a brewery? Uh-huh. Get out of here. And yeah, so, excuse-moi. I was a fan since day one. And yeah, when Chief told me they were hiring, I went over there and spent 2 years there. I spent 2 years at least every place I've been. So it's not like I bounce around just little, you know. I put my time in. I make a difference.
And now you are at?
Virgin.
Y es el que te gusta más. Neta, I mean, al Chile. Ain't nobody gonna listen to this shit anyway.
They take care of me, man.
What's the best brewery you worked at?
Damn. I mean, so far here, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Virgin is the best one?
Yeah.
Top notch?
Top notch, man. Everything. Those guys are... And the funny thing is, I have known Anthony for, I'd say, 4 years. One of the head brewers, or the head brewer and one of the owners. When I lived in Vista, I had a condo down the street from where he was brewing at, Backstreet. And then prior to that, he was at Rough Draft, and I went on a beer tour and met him, and just in passing, but... I remember when my buddy still bartends at that Backstreet Brewery / Lamppost Pizza. And every time I'd come in for a cocktail,
he'd be like, pizza.
Come on, man. Is there a way to say it? And he'd give me a beer. He'd be like, dude, try this out. And I was like, damn, dude. And I remember thinking to myself, this guy is fucking killing it. What is he doing at a place like this? This little hole in the wall. And I started talking to Anthony and I realized like, oh, I remember you from Stone and Rough Draft. And he was like, yeah, my buddies and I, high school friends, we're trying to put together, you know, our own brewery. Just, it's hard, man, finding a space. And, you know, I'd seen Hess go through it, moving into North Park Iron Fist expanding into Barrio. And I was like, yeah.
How is that one in Barrio doing? You don't keep tabs on it? They're like ex-lovers? You don't check in on them anymore?
They excommunicated me, man.
Yeah? You guys aren't on good terms?
No. As soon as I left, it was, I'm coming.
So why does everyone always say, oh, the beer industry, everyone gets along, the Los Angeles homies, everyone's holding hands?
Because, you know, there is a lot of that, but there's also a lot of, it's real life. There's
a lot of undercutting.
Yeah, man. There's some dirty deeds being done. Yeah. Man. Yeah.
What do you like the most about the beer industry? Wait, you started when? In 2010?
2011?
11?
Yeah, 2011.
So from then to now, what has been your favorite fucking part about working in the San Diego beer industry?
Oh, man.
From Brown Ice. From behind Brown Ice.
Let's see. I don't know if I can pinpoint it to one thing.
Sure you can, because you're still in it.
Because the very thing that we just clowned on is kind of my thing, man. Like, I've built up a lot of good friendships and relationships. So I'd put that at the top there just because what I do now, I wake up and I get excited for and I have fun.
Yeah.
It comes, every job has its own set
of stresses. It's beer, bro. Yeah. It's fucking beer.
It's beer. You know, like, my job is to go out there and sell something that's going to make people have a good time.
If you can't get hype over like moving product that makes people feel happy, you're doing it wrong.
And people get excited when, you know what I mean? People get excited when they get a certain beer or they see me come in to sell them something and they get hyped on it. And that's a dope feeling.
That's what I love the most too. Yeah. Because people come into the brewery and you see them like you see them come in and they're like, yeah, like, what do you guys got?
Yeah.
And like, I see them bringing people in with them, like, oh, you gotta fucking try the needle in the hay, bro. Yeah. The needle in the hay is the shit. Da, 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 da. And then I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, this is why we do it.
It's dope, you know, like, we just worked with, you know, your camaradas here from Machete to do their 5-year anniversary
beer. Yeah, yeah.
And they posted about it, and one of my buyers from Underbelly and Little Italy posted on it. He's like, hey, he's my rep, dude. He's cool as shit. And I was like, see, that's dope. You know what I mean? Like, showing me love because we work in an industry where, you know, people get excited about what we do for the most part. Like, it's not.
People get excited on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but from the inside looking out, it's like.
It's competition, man.
It's that subtle, quiet competition. It's that sneaky, like, behind your back.
Well, because, I mean, look, man, we're friends. But at the end of the day, you know, as much as, like, dude, how much love do I show you guys? And
not enough, if you ask me, motherfucker.
we all are vying for the same thing, to run a business, to make money, and to take up tap handle space. And
I mean, I feel like you and I are are different in that sense because we legitimately want to make each other feel like we're backing each other.
Yeah.
You know, like I root for you.
Yeah.
You've worn four different fucking hats, bro.
Yeah.
And I've rooted for you at each one of those spots.
Each one of those spots, man.
So it's like, I understand the business side where there's certain people in this industry that they root for other people to fail.
Oh, big time.
I've seen that shit, bro. I seen people like rooting for other breweries or some of my homies, they root for them to fail. And yeah. I'm like, I say, you know, that's my boy. You're like, you know, like,
yeah.
And they don't,
and like you matter. Said, everyone knows each other, but yeah. people run their mouths like that's not the case. And mm-hmm. I've always found that so interesting. It's such a tight knit community for people to run their mouths the way they do.
I think this is what it is that they want to say something, but they don't have the balls to say it directly. So they're like, I'm going to tell this person. And if enough yeah. people know, it's going to come to fruition. And then they're like, oh, you know, that's my mom. This is school grade shit, man.
That's why I don't get too affected by that. People always, oh, what about this? What about, oh, did you hear this? Did you hear that? And I'm like, no, because if you don't have the balls to come say it to my face, I don't take you that yeah. seriously. You know what I mean? Like, talk to me like a man.
That being the case, what's your least favorite part about this fucking San Diego beer industry?
You know, it's the way it's blown up, man. It's a good thing, but it's a bad thing because with that comes an incredible amount of competition. And when you start competing at this level, you know, who would have thought that a brewery from San Diego would sell for $1 billion? And that changed the landscape, and that showed people that this is a serious yeah. business. You know what I mean? Isn't just a hobby, a craft, a passing, you know, a passing niche. It's a fucking business. And that created a whole different element. And the beer industry was already difficult enough to track down that path because you're dealing with big beer.
Yeah.
And those are...
You're not going to win that fight. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. Yeah. We can all link up hands and fucking sing We Are the World and whatever. We won't
never
beat Coors, Miller, Anheuser-Busch.
I've gotten into an account that I lost a tap handle. I'm like, oh, what happened? Oh, you know, just I had to switch it up. Wait, are those 8 new plasma TVs? Ah, okay.
Connect the dots.
Pretty soon you're like, you know, yeah. And then, you know, and it got, at first no one talked about it. And then people just started being outright with it. I remember one guy told me he pulled my handle and, you know, he was willing to give it back if I could do for him what.
Get him a cold box.
the guy told me that the company that took my tap handle paid for a fishing trip for him and 5 of his buddies, all expenses paid. He's like, so can you do that? And I'm like, what can't do you compete. Mean? He goes, yeah. He's like, you know, they're putting us up, they're paying for the boat, they're paying for our bait, they're, you know, taking us out.
I'm so like, when like a company like that, like Anheuser-Busch, I don't know if that was them, but fuck it, let's say it was Budweiser.
Let's say it was them.
Yeah. If Anheuser-Busch comes to your local rep that you've established because you've been here now for 9 years, do you think a relationship that you had for 9 years with the local beer buyer can be compromised by Anheuser-Busch by giving them a trip like that? Or do you still feel that the power of like relationship is stronger than something like that?
Most of them are stronger. Mm-hmm. Most of them are strong because I've had really good success. And I feel a lot of that is because people know I don't try to bullshit them. And it's difficult because I never wanted to jump around because then your words become less impactful, man. If you come in every single time going, oh, let me sell you this great beer. And it's like, how many times can you say that if you've been at 4 different breweries?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. You start feeling like
that's a
bullshitter.
That's a difficult
task. Bro. Hell yeah.
Do they call you out on that shit sometimes?
People have, but people do it clowningly. And I've always been smart, man. I've always been able to maneuver myself because of the work I've put in to good breweries. You know what I mean? And going to Fall, like you said, it was everybody knew about Fall. Everybody mm-hmm. wanted to work at Fall. And now coming to Bergen, who, you know, they fucking killed it. In our first 3 years.
I didn't even know what that word meant. I had to ask you and Karen. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Like a Bergen.
I get that so much, especially when I'm on the phone and people are like, so where do you work, Bergen? Virgin Brewery? That's it's kind of out there, huh? And I'm like, no, it's not what you think. It's not Sister Mary. Bergen to grow with a B. So no, and so you know, working along those lines, I feel like if you establish those relationships and people know that A, you're not going to bullshit them, and B, you are doing right by them, most of the time it won't go away. But you also take into account that where they work is a big, big difference. You know what I mean? I'm fortunate enough that I have wonderful relationships with people like Matt and Jenna, who own their own spot, and, you know, Karen at Small Bar. And, you know, I've got a great relationship with the people at the Zoo because the guy that's running their beer program now, when I first met him at my first beer dinner, he was a busser. And then he went to a server. Then he was a bartender. And now he's running the beer program. I just happened to hang on to that relationship. So that's going to vary. You know, if you walk into a restaurant that's owned by, you know, the Cone Group, the Veron Group, that's different, man. If someone wants to build them a draft tower system that costs $25,000,
that relationship will be compromised.
Yeah, I could get you a 4-pack and some koozies.
You want some coasters?
Dog, I got you. I might even have a trucker baseball hat. But you know what I mean? It's you're not playing on a level field. And unfortunately, that's the part that, you know, even people in our industry that aren't big beer have started skewing that mark of, you know, what can we give you? What can we do? How can we make you happy? And
yeah,
and it doesn't just go on that end, man. It's disappointing that, you know, I was so excited when I was working at Hess to have beer inside of Petco Park.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, we're both baseball fanatics. And how dope is that you could walk into your home team? My first ever Little League team was the Padres, brown uniform. Yep. Yeah.
You looked naked when you went on the field. You're like, is that the jersey or is that my skin? I don't even know.
He couldn't afford a uniform. Le pintaron un número atrás, se pasaron, pinche morro. Hello, he thinks it's soccer. But, you know, that's one of those things that I was so excited, and I think it's so cool, but
then you see the price tag of what it costs to fucking be in Petco, and you're like,
you know, and the Padres are smart about it. Give them credit, man. They know how to make money, and they know how to disguise it so that it comes across as legal, but, you know, they're bleeding this industry, but it's a catch-22, because if this industry isn't willing to pay to get in there, big beer will take over all those tap handles in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
When I was at Hess, the people at Crest were so mad that we arranged that. You know, Greg and I worked so damn hard to get the beer into Petco Park. And at that time, the Padres, because of Major League Baseball's contract with Anheuser-Busch, had severed ties with Coors, which is
It was Crest. League-wide?
Oh, man. Budweiser paid big money to become the official beer of Major League Baseball.
Out
and
them.
That's when Miller Coors went to the NFL. And that's why at NFL stadiums, you can mostly just Miller Coors product.
Bro, I haven't been to a fucking NFL stadium in over a decade. Fucking longer, probably, dude. Fuck. I hate football.
It's even now, man. Like, I remember going to Jack Murphy and waking up at 6 in the morning, packing up the coolers and the carnitas.
But that was fun, you know, because you'd go in the RV or you'd go tailgating and, you know, you'd just be hanging out.
I miss that more than I miss actually going to the games.
What were people drinking back then? People were just drinking Bud Light.
Oh, yeah, Coronas. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I was drinking Hennessy and vodka.
Pinche vato. Vergüenza.
Miss Energy's way.
Do you, being Mr. Hardcore Craft, Mr. Hardcore Indie Beer Drinker, do you drink any... like, I don't know, Pacifico?
Of course I do. Yeah. Why? I mean, it's something that you grew up on drinking that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when I'm at home, and sometimes it's just a matter of, like, I love our beer and I'm happy to drink our Pilsner and I'm happy to drink our Nelson Pilsner. But sometimes you go home or you're at a barbecue and you just want a nice, easy drinking beer that's going to cost $20 for a 24 pack.
Bro, I love all of our beers. Mm-hmm. From the 4% all the way to the 12% that we have. You know, like, all of our beer is fucking tasty. Ivan de la Rifa, you know? And for me, drinking Pacifico is nostalgic, bro. Like, the first brewery I ever went to was Pacifico in Mazatlán. I remember going there and I'd be, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. You know, I want to run an operation like this. Because wifey and I went in, we walked through, we did the thing, and we're like, this is fucking rad. Like, this is I like the way the setup is. I just like the way everything feels. We went into their tasting room and they were like, in Mazatlán, you get like the seafood trucks.
Yeah.
Seafood carts, rather. And they're outside ahí en la cervecería, just chopping it up, getting tacos. And they would bring you all the beers, like a little, like, Pacifiquito, like it was a little 8-ounce glass, and then like a regular 12-ounce, and then they have like Aguamas that are 32, and then they have like the Ballenas that are like 64, you know. I was like, fuck, this is awesome. Yeah. You know, that for me, I unknowingly it like triggered something in me. I was like, oh fuck, I like this, because it just seemed like a very amicable, friendly environment where everybody was like, it just seemed like everybody was getting along.
Yeah.
I mean, motherfucker, I'm in the heart of like Cartel Central, but yeah. Everyone was happy, just having a good time, drinking beer, eating good food. And I was like, I want some of this shit back home.
Beer brings
like,
people.
Yeah, together, I was like, man. I want this, but like in Chula Vista. You know, like I think this would be fucking awesome. And yeah, I mean, I feel like that's what brought that over here. When we do shit here, I mean, that's why I have a fucking food truck in the front all the time. I have like a Mexican hot dog guy wrapped in bacon. Elote. I have a ceviche guy. I got the elote guy. We got a guy that makes churros. We got a taco guy on the block.
Anderson, the churro guy?
Dude, there's a fucking churro guy. He dips them in chocolate.
Oh, as often as I'm here, I've never caught the churro guy. Dude. Well, Don't let Natasha find out, man. She'll stab me.
He's like on the weekends, I'm going to say. Sunday, he sometimes sets up in front of Chula Vista Brewery. And he moves around a lot, but he's always on the block. That's what I like about Chula Vista, specifically 3rd Avenue.
Yep.
We've developed something that's more, obviously there's like unspoken competitive nature, you know, like I try to avoid that shit because everybody, I feel like people try to goat me into, hey, what the fuck's going on with such and such? What do you think about it? Yeah. And I'm like, bro, in all honesty, dude, I have my hands full just focusing on what I have here. Yeah. Like I have my blinders on and I tell my guys the same thing. It's like, if people shit on another brewery, don't fall victim of that. Don't like be like, yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. You're better than that. Just be like, you know what? They're doing their thing. We're doing our thing. And together, I feel like we're lifting this thing here, you know? So
big time, man.
And that's all it's got to worry. But
and look at the way it's built up from what Machete has done to Manhattan's 3rd Avenue to House. You guys.
Yeah.
3rd Avenue. Man, what Mike and Kendall have done over there.
What an asshole. You completely forgot about 3rd Avenue House. Because they're white. You didn't mention
I didn't want to say anything about the white thing, but
yeah. Toma piton. What's wrong with you?
A lot, bro. So, yeah, and that's, like you brought it up, man. That's a good point, man. You'll run into a lot of brewery owners, brewers, reps, everybody. Do we all still have our guilty pleasure, whether it's Modelo, the Pacifico, Carta Blanca.
Carta Blanca, baby. Carta Blanca. For me, Carta Blanca, bro. I would squeeze a fucking half lemon in there and put like my hand on top of it and make it like a little fist and put garlic salt on the top and put that shit on the bottom.
Never done with a garlic salt.
And then just close it because the garlic salt's going to activate it. So I'm like, I got it. I give it a little shake and then I drink the fuck out of that kawama, bro. Oh, damn.
So we all still have that, and it's tough because I remember someone trying to call me out on that a few months ago. Yeah. They were like, "Hey, so you knock big beer, you got mad because they bought Ballast Point, but that's the same company that makes all of that." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. I mean, and I never knocked Ballast Point because the reality is, man, Ballast Point is the American dream. You build a business from scratch, you start small, and then you sell it off.
You line up every motherfucking brewery owner in San Diego." Okay, all of them.
Yeah.
And if somebody says, I'm going to give you $500 million, you know?
What's over $50 million?
I'm going to give you $100 million. Motherfucker, I know about 25 breweries that if you give them $50 million, I'll raise my fucking hand for $10 million.
I'll throw my kid in.
At?
Which one?
Where at? Yeah, we won't. You this one's a little less tainted. You can have it. Yeah, I'll get one for my cousin later.
Oh, shit. You're going to give away all of
them? Yeah. Okay. I'd give away all. No, you know what? I'd give away Sonny. That motherfucker would be successful in any situation I put him in.
He's fine. He's adaptable.
He's tall. He's good looking. He's athletic. He's, you know, he's very intelligent. I feel like I can remove him from our dynamic. I can put him with whatever. and that motherfucker will flourish. I put him in, if I put him
and he's nice enough that he'll send you postcards.
Oh, yeah. If I put him on, that motherfucker will be like the next Miguel Angel Gallardo Felix. He'll be like a big cartel boss leader, you know?
So we'll see him in Narcos season 5?
I can pick that motherfucker, put him in Canada. He'll be a Mountie of the Year award. Some shit. I don't have to worry about Sonny. My middle son. But,
ese pobre Jackson.
Es Jackie. Es otro pedo. Pero si no, I light like 3 candles with that motherfucker. Nah, my Jackie.
I think that's why all of us still have, you know, and a lot of people still drink the Miller High Life, their PBRs.
Why like, wouldn't they?
Like we all drink it. Drink what you like, man. I don't knock anybody for drinking what they like. I've got to make a living and I can still do what I do and make a living. You know what I mean? I'm not scared. Yeah. I'm not scared of anybody because that's people. How many times? Do I give you information for other contacts and bars and restaurants?
Yeah, and I wanted to get onto that. Yeah, because we don't distribute to the level that other breweries do. Because I like to keep all of the money for the brewery. I don't like to like shave a percentage and have a distributor come in and push my fucking product. I want to keep all that shit in house. I'm a small business. We're a family business. Yep. Everything we do is from ourselves to. FUBU, motherfucker. For us, by us. But, like, you, in addition to David, in addition to Nacho, fuck, all of the Mexican sales reps that I know, You motherfuckers all come to me and be like, bro, call this guy. He'll hook you up. Call this guy. Yeah. I already told him about you. Go here. They know all about you. They'll get you in. You know, like, and I'm, fuck. Like, I'm grateful for you guys.
There's a
you
lot
know,
of good people.
There like is that. A lot of good people. Yeah. I just named them and they're all Mexican.
Yeah.
Ain't no one of my white boy come ever and tell me like, hey, you know what?
I got a couple
come,
of them.
Come up here and we'll get you a good
I
beer.
Got, I got a
you
couple know who?
Never mind. Matt Roberts. Remember Matt Roberts? The stone rip.
Yeah.
The stone rip. I don't know if he's still here or not. I don't know.
I haven't seen him in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. I just talked to him, but I didn't ask him.
But me, el Gordon always does that. Big Gordon. And
he gone, bro.
No, that's Greg.
Oh, Greg's okay. Gone. My bad.
Which one? Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to bring no.
Gordon is the one that's at Scout now.
Scout. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like Scout.
Yeah.
We're getting too deep into it.
Yeah, that's a whole different rabbit hole, man.
Basically, I am very happy and privileged to be around the good side of this beer industry.
Yeah.
Because I always hear about the bad side of the beer industry, but I don't really surround myself with those people. So it's like, mala verga. You know, like yeah. I surround myself with the people that I know that I'm not competing with. Because yeah. internally, I don't feel like I'm competing with anyone but myself. Right. I see this industry like a game of golf. Yeah. You know, it's like I'm not playing the person in my group. I'm playing the course. I'm playing the field. You know, it's like it's me against that bunker. It's me against the 380 yards to the fucking green. It's me against this. It's me against that. So it's me against the like the beer industry. How can I better myself to be better, like fit to succeed here? And I think that's where a lot of people get it twisted. I feel like a lot of dudes just want to like, well, fuck that guy, the rep from such and such brewing. He's always getting these fucking accounts. And every time I get a handle on there, I feel like fucking Caesar with his brown, beautiful skin and his fucking, you know, it's like, I see that and I'm like, oh man, you're looking at this completely wrong. Like I
worry
feel like,
about your yeah, own. Like
I
said.
It's like I feel like you're looking at this from the completely wrong angle. Like you should be celebrating him, fool. Why don't you go up and talk to him and be like, how'd you do that? That's fucking rad.
Yeah,
like,
hey, more than likely I'll help you out.
Yeah, like let me share some of the accounts I have that and I know you don't have.
Yeah, ask.
And then
ask,
you know, maybe we can, you know, it's
I,
like
I went in there to the zoo last week and I had lunch with Danielle from Belgian Beaver. She's like, hey, look, I've been trying to get this contact for a while, and they had our cans. What can I do to get more? I'm like, cool, let's go have lunch. Let's go chat. I don't give a shit because I'm not worried about my beer going away. I'm trying to spread the love, man. It's
and ultimately, it's all of us little guys against Anheuser-Busch, right?
Yeah,
Chipotle Bear.
Be smart about it, man. Worry about your own, man. If you take care of your own business, you don't have to stress about anybody else, man. You know,
I'm still learning that. You know, I
but that's life too.
Yeah, I do my best to just fucking worry about what we got going on. But yeah, sometimes it's hard. Like, oh my God, these guys are opening another taster room. These guys are opening another brewery. I'm like, that's not us. Us Wait, is here. Us is here. Thing. You know, us is here.
And you talked about it when you want to open the taster room. You're going to do it in the right setting. With your ethos? Going to what did you say last time? And
I'm not
going to
tell you, puto.
Bro, you said it on the fucking podcast like 20 times that East Lake and that you go National City. Bro, you're not going to tell me. You've already said to everybody.
I like Bonita.
Yeah.
I like Paradise Hills. I like San Isidro.
Yeah.
You know, like I like those That's, places.
And
you know?
It is dope, man. Like, it's cool watching what Ben's doing at Hoppy Days and Seth has doing over there at South Bay Tap House. That's dope as shit,
trying
man.
To get your beer. Look at you.
You buy my beer. They already do. I don't have to worry about it.
No, man.
Those are good people, man. And it's – I never – And I was telling Ben and Sessa this last time I sat down with both of them. I'm like, who the hell would have thought that there'd be two craft beer bars in San Isidro? In San Isidro, out of all places, when I started in this industry, never did I think, man, because my dad's a hard ass, man. I love my dad, but every time I brought him a beer, it's muy fuerte, it's too strong. Yeah. How do you drink this? No wonder you guys are always fucked up. And it's been a couple of times where I brought him some like Pilsner's, like the 86 from Fall, the American Lager. I can drink that. But even then, what does he buy? Modelo Tecate.
Still,
he doesn't care, man. Because that's his zone.
My pop, full same, but a little different. Like, motherfucker drink Coors Light, Bud Light, all the lights, Tecate, like, all of them shits.
Growing up, all I saw was Bud Light in the fridge.
That's all he drinks.
Yeah.
And then I started like tinkering with doing this. Gay was like, nah, mijo, nah, yo me quedo con lo que sé. Yo conozco, mira, yo conozco Tecate Light. Yo conozco pinche Bud Light. Yo Coors Light. And then one day I brought him a Blind Pig. Fuck, dude. It's as if I showed him the first white woman he's ever seen in his life. He cracked that fucking bottle, se lo tomó, and like, mijo, this is good. I said, yeah, motherfucker. Of course
it's good. I've been telling you for years.
Now, fast forward to 2020 from like 2011, 2012, motherfucker is like, ay, mijo, don't bring no Coors Light here. Don't bring none of that. Motherfucker left the hood and turned his back on the hood. Motherfucker don't ever want to go back to the hood.
Hey, but he's the unofficial mayor, yeah, man.
Motherfucker comes in here and tells Ivan, hey, Ivan, Akira, dejé el barril. Voy a recoger otro. So he comes and gets a six-stool like every 2 weeks and takes it home to his little fucking kegerator. He uses our fucking draft technicians that we hire. He has them. He shoots them a text and say, hey, Danny from Vinci Tapcraft LLC. And he says, hey, Danny, good people. Cruise over. My lines are a little foamy. This motherfucker's turned into a beer geek, bro. This motherfucker is turned into a what's beer geek. Hey,
what's his untapped screen name? Tell me.
Dosh.
El Mayor de Chula.
Dice El Chicali 53, dog. That's his fucking Instagram name. You know, like, and I'm like, fool, you're not fooling anybody. There's no picture, there's no nothing. And I'm like,
oh, he's one of the exes? Like, he was on Twitter? Like,
good for you. Yeah. You know, good for you. You discover something you like.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought, man?
Not me. My dad's a dickhead. Like, I'm a lot like my dad. My dad is stubborn. He's fucking opinionated. If it's not his way, it's the highway. Yep. But, like, he realized quickly, like, oh, wow. I get... Te pones bien estúpido con estas cervezas, mijo. I'm like, yeah. So now he's like, fuck, I can have, like, three of them and be done.
Yeah.
I don't have to have, like, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know? Pack. And this is a clean stupid. Like I feel like you get dumb and you're just like... You're just kind of like, all right, I feel good.
Yeah.
But my dad took it to the next level. So he goes to the Elwood now. And he never drank whiskey. Fucking never. Now he shoots Jameson. No, you know, motherfucker's a tequila guy. You know, he fucking ate the little worm from the mezcal, the tolpeo. But now he's like, he goes to the bar and the bartenders will tell me, hey, your dad came through. Yeah, cool. Was he obnoxious? Like, no, he's sweet. Oh, he's such a good guy. So he goes in there. That means he's fucking tipping well. You know, to me, that's cover. My dad is being a fucking obnoxious old man.
Yeah.
You know, he's belligerent as fuck, but he's probably leaving some money there. So the girl's like, oh, he's so cute. He's all right. No problem. I go in there, and one of the bartenders was like, do you want it? Like, I give it to your dad? And I was like, what the fuck? How do you give it to my dad? He's like, well, he likes it with pickle juice. And now I was like,
holy shit.
This motherfucker goes in and orders a Jameson with a pickle back, bro. And
I remember when I went to the L1, you were the first one, remember?
Oh, God. I was the first one, what?
When I told you that I found out about picklebacks. Was that you?
Maybe, because I never knew about them. I never knew about them until the bartender
told me. No. It was Sizzlik.
Okay.
Sizzlik was, his mind was blown when I told him that I had heard about picklebacks. And he goes, how the fuck do you not know about? Because I didn't know, man. I didn't know that that's what, I wish I had known.
I wish I knew that before. Yeah. I would have avoided a lot of drunken nights. So now my dad needs a little piece of work. I go to the house. I said, hey, jefe, te trajo una botella. Like a, some sort of like fucking Jameson blend, the stout or whatever, you know, the IPA cask or the stout cask or whatever. Took him an 18. I took a Jameson 18, motherfucker was like, give me some pickled back, baby. I don't like it like this. Las muchachas del Elwood ya me conocen, me lo dan ir a con un cojito de pico, mijo. Get the fuck out of here with your bougie ass. ¿Qué pasó, güey?
That's what happens, though. But that's good.
Created a monster with that guy.
I never would have thought, man.
Fucking monster.
Like my godfather's house was two blocks behind my Lady of Guadalupe right there in Barrio Logan. Who would have thought in Barrio Logan, man, there was Iron Fist. Yeah. Alta just went out of business, but Attitude and Thorn and, you know, the Mishmash and all these crazy places that all center around beer. I never would have known that in Barrio, man. No, in Barrio Dog, Border X.
I would see that. I would see that.
That's different. That's a different animal.
I would see Barrio Dog. Barrio Dog for sure. Like, I would go to church to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go to church?
Yeah.
Who was a pastor? ¿Quién fue el padrecito?
I remember that, man.
Father Rezura?
You know how many churches we bounced around when I was a kid?
Ooh. Probably as many as the fucking breweries you've worked at.
Holy shit.
So we would go to our Lady of Guadalupe. And for me, I fucking hated church, bro.
Yeah.
You know,
who doesn't as a kid?
Church is stupid. And
you gotta kneel every 2 minutes.
I would go and I would count the planks of board in the rafters. You know, I'd be like, okay, there's 17 going that way. And I was like Rain Man. I would do whatever it took to take my mind off some old dude talking shit about church. I was like, ugh. But then they'd get to the anuncios where they'd be like, queremos darle gracias a nuestras amigas de aquí de la comunidad. Los donaron 3 docenas de tamales de puerco. And I was like, yeah. So when the announcements came on,
María, muchas gracias.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, it's on. What are we going to eat? Like, we're going to go outside. We're going to eat. So we'd leave the church. And there'd be tamales and fucking pozole and menudo and tostadas and cueritos, champurrado, churros, everything, dog. And it would be like a little outdoor swap meet, and I would go buy all my little Chalino cassettes. There was no CDs back then, bro. I would get my Chalino Sanchez tapes, my Tucanes de Tijuana tapes, mi pinche Apomeño, like all of that shit, bro. That's what church was for me.
Yeah, you know? It was the after party.
Like the fucking after party. I was like, as soon as I sat down on the little fucking pew, in my head, I turned the timer on. Okay, 39 minutes from fucking here. Let's get this shit over with, homie. You know, and it's like, And now Barrio Logan, bro. Now Barrio Logan, it's like, I heard some motherfuckers try to describe Barrio Logan as East Village. And I was like, what? It's like, yeah, East Village.
That's what they wanted to be.
Yeah, I was like, no, bitch, this is Barrio Logan, bro. They're like, no, East Village. You know, it's like, there's East Village, and a little further east from East Village is here. It's, you know,
yeah. Go try to operate the way you do in East Village and see how that works out for you. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Tell me, how's it gone for some of these people? Like Iron Fist, I asked legitimately because I don't know.
Yeah.
How are those guys doing?
Wish I knew.
No?
I don't. I mean, when Mish I go down mash. There, I was
going to... Did they go out of business or are they still there?
So they went out of business in the original space next to Iron Fist.
Uh-huh.
But now they're, what is it, Newton and that same street. And they're killing it.
Yeah? Because I was going to say...
That's some of my... Those good people, man.
Barrio Logan is a lot like here in Chula Vista as it relates to the people and what we sniff out the pretenders. Like, we know who's there. And we know who's there to be there, you know?
And I remember telling them, dog, I'm like, you can't open a business and expect people to support you if they think you're here to just make money.
Yeah.
You want to be successful here? Be part of the community. Let people know that you're down for the hood and that you're taking care of them and they'll take care of you. But if you just come here to open up a business and make money, they got plenty of options.
Yeah.
They've been doing this long before you and they'll be doing it long after you're gone. So
I've seen many go in and many come out. Tail between their legs, kind of like, fucked up. Like, yeah, bro.
Good luck.
Yeah. What happened to Altai? You said they closed?
Yeah, well, they opened and they lost their brewer. They closed for a little bit, then they reopened, and then just recently, like in the past 3 months, they closed again. So that was a little bit off the beaten path, though, even for being.
Where was it? I never went.
It was like coming off of San Chavez, coming south.
Uh huh.
But like on the backside, like on the right side. So instead of coming in towards Cuatro Milpas, you go around the backside of the freeway right there by
the pink church, the Baptist church. Yep. Over in that area.
I was trying to remember the name of the church. The pink
Calvary
church.
Baptist Church.
Calvary, there you go.
Yeah.
You're from the hood, I was about to call it like Pink Church, and I'm like, it has a name. But
You ain't about the hood. Así es el pedo, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck. Why do you think breweries are closing at a rapid pace?
Everyone has their different falters and reasons for failures, but a lot of it is just, I think some people, their unwillingness to keep up. They want to do things their own way. They're unwilling to adapt. And, you know, some of them have gotten too big for their own good, thinking that the good times are always going to last. And that's not the case, man. It's not just you could survive initially in this industry by making good beer. That's not enough anymore. You got to make good beer. You got to know how to market yourself. You got to know how to, you know how to get your brand out there in different ways, man. And people aren't willing to adapt anymore. People think that they can do it their way and that people will adapt to them. That's fine when there's 30, 40, 50 breweries. Now that there's 150, you have to give the people what they want. And most times, you know, again, it's a combination of factors. It's not giving people what they want, thinking you can do it your own way, and that people are just going to instantly turn around and be like, oh, cool. Well, that's what you do. Right on. No, man, it's... The reason that people are making seltzers now, the reason that Hazy's blew up. Yeah.
Not guilty. Guilty on the seltzers, not guilty on the Hazy's yet.
Because it's what people want, man. And it doesn't mean you have to compromise everything else, man. Virgin was one of the first 5 breweries to make a Hazy in San Diego. And we still sell a shit ton of them, but guess what?
Because you guys make it the right way, bro.
And our best-selling beer, though, is still a West Coast IPA. Our second best-selling beer is still a German-style Pilsner.
What's the name of the Pilsner?
Pistol Pils.
Okay, no la probado.
What's the Clever Kiwi.
That's the one I like. That was the one you brought me that was really good.
Yeah. Oh. That's our third best-selling beer. And then the Juice Press, which is our Hazy, 4th.
Nice.
So, yeah, we make Hazies, but... That's not our.
But Hazy's don't make us.
I am
not the bitchy introspective guy.
So that's you know, you can adapt and give people what they want without having to completely change your business model.
What do you want for yourself out of this crazy industry of beer.
Take care of my kid, man.
Es todo,
man.
Yeah. If so I what is your goal? What do you want to do here, like, to help you take care of that aspiration?
Find a place to plant my flag and, you know, take ownership, man.
Are you there?
I mean, I feel confident that I'm here. Everything that they've promised me has come true in 6 months, man. They told me new tanks were coming in. They told me they were buying a new space for private events. They told me they were opening up a second tasting room. They did all of that in under 6 months that I've been there. So I feel good about it. I have a contract that will take care of me as long as I do what I've always done, which is go out and hustle. So I'm not worried about it. I got a no cap commission. Those guys are believing me. So they know that if I make them money, they're happy paying me money.
Yeah.
So they're good people, man. They're good business people. And, you know, leadership is a big reason businesses succeed or fail. And they got a good leadership structure there. Real good one. You know, it's people say it a lot, and it's true, man. This isn't an industry where we make a lot of money. It's tough. There's so many of us, and margins are thin, man. People don't take into account what it costs to produce electricity, water, materials, salary, insurance, equipment, all of those things.
Taxes, motherfucker.
Taxes.
Don't ever forget taxes.
No, you can't, because they don't forget about you. Fucking A. So you factor in all those things, man. Like, yeah, it's all fine and dandy on the outside, but you have to be respectful of what it takes to run a business. So when people say, yeah, you don't make money in this industry, there's a lot of factors that go into that, but you can get taken care of. And I finally feel like, you know, I have all the big boy toys that I need, you know, health insurance, man. That was a big deal for me. So, you know, I'm happy, man. I'm planting my flag here, and I hope not to abandon, you know, my principles, because that ultimately I just want to take care of my kid, man. Provide for her. She has the best life possible. It's all, you know, you do your job. You know that, man. Come on. Drugs, there's a reason that you went here, Elwood, UPS. Come on, dog.
Because I hustle, motherfucker. I got too many mouths to feed.
Exactly.
My pullout game is weak. That's why. If my pullout game was strong, it'd just be wifey and me, and we'd be partying. And just, but no, man.
But yeah,
my pullout game is weak, so now I got to work at UPS.
Yeah.
I had to fucking open this brewery. I had to open a fucking bar.
Yeah.
I do this dumbass podcast that people seem to like.
Yes, it's a pillow. Yeah, you do what you have to do. Most people aren't willing to do that, man. Most people are waiting for a handout. How many people are willing to work for what they have, what they want?
Not a lot, man.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
They're not. And look, as much as I hated making changes, they were all necessary. And yeah. It's not that I got beef with Fall, man. I'm still welcome there with open arms. Hess, those people love me.
Yeah.
They still love me, man. Yeah. I still talk with Greg on a regular basis. And Tori. Like,
I like Hess.
Yeah,
Hess,
man.
I love Fall. Fall is good people. I don't know Iron Fist.
No, you know, they got their own thing going on. And, you I don't have any.
I don't fucking know them.
I kind of think So, but you guys came up, remember?
Yeah, we went up. Yeah. Did the beer ever come out?
I think so.
See,
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know them. I don't know them. You know, I knew Hess. Yes, they were cool. They were a pivotal part in us actually opening our brewery.
Yeah,
you know, their layout in North Park. We modeled a lot of our layout here based on what we saw there to make it work floor plan wise. Fall, the same thing, bro. Like, they wanted to open here. And it didn't work out for them, so we jumped in, and that was the opportunity that we got, you know? Like, so there was drama there, man. Fucking that got squashed quickly, you know? But
most drama can get squashed quickly.
Most drama is birthed from miscommunication.
Absolutely.
And as soon as you fucking nip that bitch in the bud, like, I feel like it's rectified.
Talk like grown-ups.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it got corrected quickly.
Yep.
It was a misunderstanding here. They wanted something, and the city told us that it's not happening. So fucking I jumped in and did it, and then we were waiting. I said,
sorry.
You sit on your hands. You get pushed over, bro. You know?
Oh, what's closed mouth doesn't get fed?
Hey, closed mouths don't get fed on this fucking avenue, bro.
Yeah.
You know, you can cry me a river, but you gotta work for it.
That's why
breweries are closing.
Breweries are closing. People are getting laid off left and right. People that you never would have thought getting laid off. It's a changing time. And if you're not willing to adapt and bust your ass, then don't be surprised when you get left behind. Like, that's why I have all the confidence in the world, because I'm never going to stop being a hard worker.
Nice.
And, you know, I can I can be confident about what I do, you know? People are out there playing checkers. I'm playing chess.
I'm confident. Calmate tu. Say wait. Chimos Dev. Talib Kweli.
A black star.
So long as I'm here, like running the shit, like if I feel like I have full control of what I got going on, I know that I'm gonna handle it.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those guys that likes to sit in the back seat and just kind of watch shit happen. Yeah. I need to have my hands on the wheel and be like, nah, motherfucker, this is where it's going because I'm taking us there.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's a dickhead mentality sometimes, but it's like, no, I believe in me. Yeah. You know, I love the people that I have surrounded myself with, but I ultimately believe in me, like driving this thing and taking it there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hurt some feelings. You know, I'm gonna make some people mad. But I mean, ultimately, no one and nothing is bigger than the brand.
Yep.
As it relates to here, as it relates to the bar, as it relates to our families, everything, bro.
Everything, man. It's you take everything into consideration when you make decisions, and that's why people survive, because you know you make decisions based on long term and big picture. Most people are thinking day to day, man. It's
you have to think day to day,
right?
You have to. Everything has to think day to day. But once you realize, I got this, I got that. Okay, Monday done. What do I got next week? Okay, ultimately I want this, and eventually that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you fail to look at your day to day, like if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail.
Right.
You know, so you have to make sure even in the most minute, the most microscopic step, you can't skip it. You got to touch every little thing in order to get to the final goal, the final boss. Right. You know, because if you get to that final boss and you skipped a shitload of steps, you fuck, boy.
You better use those cheat codes.
Shit. If you're going up against Anheuser-Busch and you neglected to fucking dot the I's and cross the T's, they're going to eat your ass out. Sell it.
Dime más eso.
Toss, sell it. ¿Qué onda? ¿Qué más? Tell me something different. Tell me something I don't know about you, Caesar.
Well, what didn't you know about me, man?
Your affinity for white women.
Easy there. You tell me something you didn't know. You know that for a fact. That's everything you talk to me about. Everything you text me.
You might be the biggest playboy in the beer industry, bro.
No, calmado. That's a reputation.
That's acquired over the years.
That's been for some reason given to me, man.
For some crazy reason.
Yeah, man, because I'm still a virgin. I'm going to Marilena Guadalupe right after here.
Yeah, because you don't use Q-tips. If you're a virgin, that's about it, bro. Everything else, te lo han picoteado.
Calmado, güey.
No, you're a good dude, man. I'm happy you finally came in here. We had a chance to chat. Let's see.
Yeah, and I was about to think, what don't you know about me? But there's not
I don't know. I feel like I know everything. Yeah. Mexicans, we know everything about each other.
Yeah, even if we try to hide it, someone will tell you.
We know everything about each other. Better or for worse, you know, we know each other's weaknesses. We know each other's strengths. We talk shit on each other. El que se agüita pierde.
But you've said it. If you talk shit on somebody, it's because you give a shit.
I've told people that, and they don't believe me.
Not everybody takes kindly to
that. It's like, I fuck with you because I fucks with you. Yeah. If I didn't fucks with you, I would not fuck with you. You wouldn't hear three words. Like, for me, directed at you, if I didn't like you.
Yeah.
You know, I like you, so I'm going to fucking welcome to the family. You're going to get shit on.
Yeah, when people tell me, like, I haven't heard from you in a minute, I'm like,
be concerned.
I should say something.
Be a little worried.
I've cut my circle down dramatically. Dramatically.
I talk to that shit ad nauseum, fool. Always.
It's circle,
tell
man.
Tell me about your circle.
Cause
how big is it?
Not
outside
very
of family. Big. Like, obviously, family, well, they kind of get grandfathered in.
Yeah, but to an extent, there's some family you still got to keep your eye on, man.
Yeah, okay, but you keep your eye on them, but I feel like...
I've built out layers of circles, man. Ah. You've got family,
the Caesar Torres circle of friends. Go ahead.
The ones that are closest to you, man, that's your inner circle.
How many people you got in there?
Oh, man, shit. Handful, man. Handful.
How many?
I don't know. Under 10?
Too many.
Under 10?
Under 5.
No.
These are the people. Not family.
Not family. Yeah, no. Under 10. Because I got good people, man. Remember, I've been through some shit.
Yeah.
I've been through some shit. And there was a lot of people that stepped up when I was going through that shit. And those are the people that, you know, I can't ever forget that. So, but on me, it's that. Then you get your close friends. Because even though they're close, they're still not on that level of, you know. No matter what happens.
You killed somebody? I'll be right over.
We're going to figure this out. We're going to figure this out. And then you got friends. It's not bad. They're still there. They're people. You know, they're not close friends. They're not family. And then you get to the circle outside of that. It's acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We got a lot of those.
We got a lot of those.
We're the same guy when it comes to that shit. Wifey's always telling me, careful who you let in. And remember, it's like, what you misconstrue as me letting people in
yeah.
is like, I have a shit ton of acquaintances.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm happy to have them there.
It's necessary in this industry. Yeah, like, man,
I know, and that's what I told her. I said, if this is going to work for us, the family, the company, and everyone involved, like, I have to have all of these connections. And mm-hmm. I have to make sure I take care of, I water these connections like a fucking garden. They won't grow if I don't, like, actively seek it out and pay attention to it, you know?
And it's not like you're devoting a lot of time to them mm-hmm. because you know where you're... And that's, for me, the biggest reason that I started forming that circle is... Time is limited, man. Yep. You only got so much time in a day. Hours.
Everyone's busy.
And you don't know when that time's going
to
stop.
We got to prioritize time management.
So when you give your time to people, that's the one thing you can never give back. So make sure you give your time to the right people. But at the same token, just because you're not giving a lot of time to certain people doesn't mean that you don't give a shit about them. They're just not top priority. They're not someone that you need to waste a lot of time on because... It's where it benefits your well-being and your right headspace is the people that deserve all of that because that's what makes you.
I get you. Look at you.
Mackenzie? See,
you know. Fucking deep thoughts by Caesar Torres.
Come on. I mean, acquaintances aren't bad, but no, they're not.
I don't need them.
Yeah.
They don't need me.
People always ask me, why you got two phones? I'm like, there's a big reason I got two phones,
one
man.
For the plug and one for the hug.
I got nothing. No. No burner. There's no burner. There's, especially when I'm with my kid, I got to disconnect, man.
One of them.
There's no emergency that's big enough to ever pull me away from my daughter. You know what I mean? What are you going to tell me? Oh, my keg blew. Cool.
Handle it, bro.
Yeah. Sorry. You should have ordered more. I text you. I call you. Visit you. Yeah. You should have ordered enough. You know, if it's something that's crazy that came up and I don't have my kid, I'm happy to do business. But if not, that's not my issue. You want to call me because you have a foamy line? Awesome, man. Our guys are out there cleaning kegs every time we deliver one. We offer that service. If something's wrong with that line, you didn't take advantage of our draft techs. And you probably have your own. Call them. You know what I mean? So there's only so much I can do for people. And that's, you know, and there's a lot of really fucking rad ass people that I know in this industry. And I'm stoked for them. And I'm happy to watch them grow. And I'm happy to watch them do well, man. But at a certain point, you know, I got to look out for me and my
little A1.
Yeah. My little own is, that's my biggest priority. And then I come shortly after that.
I will have another one, Pluto.
Huh?
Have another one.
No, I wish.
Why?
I want another one, but you know, that's...
You got like a fucking plethora, a gaggle of white women at your beck and knee. You can get with it. Come on, make a nice little vanilla beaner.
My first one was pretty cute, man. Yeah.
She still is.
Yeah. It's not as simple as that. It's not as simple as that, man. it went through a lot with my ex to get to the point where we're at where we're like, we're copacetic.
Todo bien?
Yeah, you know,
you're a happy guy right now.
I'm very happy.
Happy, healthy, looking forward to what's
getting better. Getting better by the day, man. That's my dog. Getting better by the day.
That's my dog. You're not in my inner circle, but you're close.
I can see the window. And you can see my fingerprints.
Yeah, kind of looking. Like, and then the other people in my group are like, fuck off the window, bitch. You ain't here.
The window cleaner's here.
Oh, man.
The cleaner's here.
People fuck with me because I say, man, my circle is tight.
Tight.
Super tight.
Keep it tight.
I got 5 people in there. I know their birthdays. I know when I met them, and I know what we've done for each other.
Yeah,
they got my bag, and I got theirs. That's it.
You got.
There's no negotiating who's in there and who I'm bringing in.
No,
like when you win, you win. And then I have like everyone else.
Yeah,
you know. And from everyone else is like the emo brown people. You know, like my homies that we do athletic shit with. You know, like you're included in there. People that, you know, people I see. Lentis is inner circle, I think.
Matt's going to make him so happy when he hears this.
He's going to get a boner.
Fuck, he's going to run back. If you post this right now, he'll come back from San Francisco.
Oh, man. He knows. He does a lot for me.
I'm molding
him in your image. Like I tell him, fucking pay attention to what Caesar's doing. Like, just
I told you he hit me up because we wanted to get together.
I was like, look at what he's doing. It's like, we don't have enough beer to cultivate all the accounts that he has, but just pay attention to how he does it.
Thank you, man.
To David at CBG, I say, pay attention to what he's doing. These are the guys you need to look
David
up
Laura's
to.
David Laura's a G, man. I say,
these are the two dudes you need to look up to, you know? Nacho, too, but he's too big time. He's you know, with Ale
he's
Smith.
Got a different animal,
it's,
man.
It's a different animal. It's a different game. Like, you guys hustle on a different level. So I say, Caesar, David, those should be your two muses that you, like, just latch on to them, you know? And I put a lot of responsibility on Glasses because I expect a lot of him because I know
that's what he wants.
Yeah, well, that, and I know that he'll deliver.
Yep.
You know? And he's still new to the game, so I still got to push him and be like, no, bitch. Like, Invoices are due. You collect them. I don't give a fuck if you build the relationship with your friendly with them. I say you collect.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how you get paid. That's how we keep everything on. Collect.
It's not an easy part.
You know, because Mondays at breweries are normally slow days. You know? Like Mondays in
In-house
are usually slow days. Yeah. So I said, these are the days I need you out there.
It's like the best selling days.
Yeah. These are the days I need you out there cultivating sales. Mm-hmm. So he gets it. He understands it. I just want to send him with you one day. You know, like
We've been trying. Yeah. We've been trying. That's why this week we were trying to set it up.
And he just got a job, like a full-time job, because he's been waiting. I guess he was ready to get this job. Temp stuff, right? And now he finally got the job. Yeah. So his schedule is like 6 to 3 p.m. And I said, all right, cool. Now you get to fucking develop here, because I just gave him a nice little fucking bump and more responsibility. And I said, now it's on, Papa.
Scarface?
Now, Papito.
But yeah. No, but hey, give him credit, because he is. Because I hit him up and I was like, hey, man, because, you know, he's always talking about what he does behind the bar and what he's trying to hustle on the sales side and delivery side.
Dude.
And I'm like, good for you, man. And it never stops. Get it done. And he was like, yeah, man. He's like, let's get together. And again, just pure coincidence that he left to San Francisco, and when he comes back, I'm heading up to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, don't worry about it. Next week, man. Don't stress about it.
Enjoy yourself in the Bay.
I will, man.
Thank you for coming in.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to bring you in more often. I feel like this one was the boring one. This is the one you're like, hey, here's Caesar. Let's get to know Caesar. Now when everybody knows El Pinche Caesar, now I can bring you in and we can dig around.
See, next time
we can just have you.
Right now we just had a beer, but next time we'll have the mezcal in here. We'll get to the gusano.
Bitch, you ain't down.
No estás listo, wey.
Bitch, you ain't down.
Because I want gusano right here so that glasses finally gets to understand.
He's scared.
I know he's scared. That's why I want it, man.
He's a white ass Mexican, bro. He's a white ass. He clowns me because I look fucking. I'm light. I'm fair skin. You know, I'm fair skin. That ain't my fault.
I got enough chocolate to rub off.
That ain't my fault. But I'm beaner, bro. And I say, you look paisa, but bitch, I am paisa.
But what were you going to talk about last time? He's hipster paisa.
We went down a list yesterday of 50 things you should know if you're hipster. And I was like, bitch, you hit like the top five of the first 10. So you are, at worst, you're a chipster. You're king of the chipsters.
Some of them you invented. So,
I was like, no mames, way. So, yeah, I mean. No,
he's good people, man. You got a good squad around here.
I need to sever some ties and I need to make it better. Yeah. Better. We'll save that for the next one.
For the mezcal episode?
Yeah. Chale, thank you for coming through, Caesar.
Muchas gracias.
You're a champion.
Te quiero, güey.